Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you're here, especially if you're new. We want to welcome you here to our services. And today I want to begin by talking a little bit about clothes. I know it's a bit of an odd place to start, but I do want to begin by talking a little bit about clothes. Have you ever put on like a sweater backwards before and just felt like things are a little bit off? Or put maybe your socks inside out or something like that? This thing happened to me a little while ago where I was getting up in the dark because I often get up before Krista. This is mainly because I'm a better person, otherwise known as a morning person. I think all of us, not all of us here, but many of us here are morning people, and morning people give off the vibe that they are better just by getting up earlier almost all the time. Amen. We get some amens to that. That's a good thing, because I am a morning person. So I was getting up early in the morning, trying not to wake her, and getting the kids ready, and so I throw on my clothes in the dark, and as I'm getting kids kind of ready, I start to notice that something feels a little bit, like, off. It wasn't my sweater, it wasn't what I was kind of wearing, it was my jeans. They felt a little bit weird. And the reason they felt a little bit weird was I tried to put my phone into my jean pocket, and it did not fit. Is anybody taking a guess for what I had accidentally done getting ready in the dark? Yeah, I was wearing Krista's pants is what I was doing, actually. So, and it took me like a good 30 minutes to recognize this, which is kind of ridiculous, really. So sometimes we can be wearing these clothes that might feel a little bit ill-fitting, that they're kind of not the right fit for us and where we're at. Obviously, I should have picked up on the fact I was wearing Krista's pants quite a bit earlier, as there's quite a bit of a height difference between the two of us. So you think I would have noticed, but I didn't. I want to also talk about how then today with clothing, not only can you put on something that feels a little bit off and just doesn't fit who you are, sometimes when you put on a piece of clothing, it actually draws you closer to someone. I'm not sure if you've ever like wore maybe like your grandmother's like pin or a brooch or a jacket that your dad had or something like that. What you might not realize is that each and every Sunday when I preach here, I actually wear a different watch for preaching. Every Sunday, here it is. It's what I kind of wear each and every Sunday. This watch was my grandfather's watch that he got for working 25 years straight at the Eaton Company, and they gave watches for that. And then this became the watch that my dad would only ever wear while preaching. So after he had passed, this got given to me, and so I wear it each and every Sunday, both to remind me about him and to feel a little bit closer to him. The clothes are kind of these things that we obviously have to be wearing like every day that we don't really give a lot of thought to. They can sometimes be ill-fitting, or sometimes they can actually draw us closer to someone. And the reason I want to talk about clothing is because Paul actually talks about clothing. If you're joining with us for the first time, we're right now walking through the book of Romans, just section by section, you know, chunk by chunk. It's not every Sunday that we start off talking about clothing. It's not a kind of get ready with me moment. That's not normally what we do. But Paul, in Romans 13, talks a lot about clothing. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open them up to Romans 13. Last week, we took a look at politics, so I'm glad you all came back. That's really great after that. Today, we want to continue to follow through Paul's train of thought, and he's going to talk a lot about clothing, about what you wear, what you shouldn't wear, different kind of things like that, and he's also going to talk about a few different metaphors of day and night. And so what I want to do here this morning, I want to read to you the rest of Romans 13, and then we're just going to walk it through here today, paying special attention to where Paul talks about the different clothes that we are called to wear. So he says this in verse 8. We read this. Paul is speaking. He says, "Owe nothing to anyone, except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are all summed up in one commandment." Paul's saying everything gets summed up into this. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Anyone want to say amen to that? All right, that's what we're called to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says, love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. He says this, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. Listen to these verses. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Take off the ill-fitting, dirty clothes that you have, and put on instead the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, he says, clothe yourself with the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. This is a passage I want to take a look at here today. And what I want us to notice right off the bat, that this passage is all about living differently really than the world around us. That's kind of a through line in it. And what Paul's going to talk about here is he's going to talk about love of neighbor. That's the first kind of mini section. He's going to talk about changing your clothes to the right kind of clothes. And then he's going to talk about choosing right actions. So it's going to be love, clothing, and then some action. I want to work this through actually verse by verse today. I want to begin with verses 8 to 10. We read, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law." And these statements that Paul makes in verses 8 and 10, I believe they are both straightforward and also shocking in the same time. They're both straightforward and shocking. That first, what Paul says really is that love is what God requires. Right? That love is what obedience looks like. Love is what maturity in Christ looks like. Love is what we should be doing. If you want to know if someone is a mature follower of Jesus, they should have a heart and a posture of love towards those around them. This is really clear by Paul. He says, love your neighbor, love others, love your other people who are around you. He also says, love yourself. This is why things like therapy and counseling are really important, because if you don't love yourself, follow with me, if you don't have love for yourself, you're actually not going to have love to share with anyone else. This is why it's important for us to grow in our compassion for one another and also for ourselves, because you can't give someone something you don't have. And he says this really clearly. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is why we need to do the work of making sure that our hearts aren't filled with like bitterness, hate, hurt, regret, because that stuff will just bleed out in relationships, in conversations. So Paul says something pretty straightforward. We need to actually work on making sure that we can love all of those around us. But this statement is also quite shocking in its simplicity and in its clarity. Because here what Paul has done is to take essentially all of the 613 Old Testament laws. There are lots of laws in the Old Testament that you can read about. There are laws that cover virtually every single part of our life. They talk about things like marriage, cooking, food, sex, purity, religion. All of those things are covered in these laws. And Paul says that they're all summarized in this one commandment of love your neighbor as yourself. That if you do that one thing, love your neighbor as yourself, it will fulfill all of God's requirements with the law. That's what he's teaching. And it would be really shocking for a Jewish person to hear this kind of idea, that this is a brand new idea, not that Paul came up with, but if you know your Bibles, who else said something exactly like that? Jesus is the answer. Yes, I'm not trying to trick you. It's just Jesus. Jesus says this in Mark 12, verses 30 to 31. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. He says the second is equally important. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. This would be shocking to Jewish people because these verses are not quoted in any of the Old Testament extra literature that we have. Robert Jewett says it this way. He says, there are no citations at all from Leviticus 19, 18 in Jewish literature prior to Paul's letters. This is the first time we're hearing this idea that love fulfills all of God's commandments. Or as the Beatles sang, all you need is love, right? It's shocking in its simplicity, but also it is a radical statement to say that's all you need. But that's what Paul is getting at here. If you want to live like Christ, you want to look like Christ, you want to make sure that your life is following Christ, it needs to be a life of love for those around you. This is what Paul is getting at. Next, what we can see is he's going to turn around and talk a bit more about actual clothing. This is the next few verses. He says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of our salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. I want to begin by unpacking verse 11, where Paul says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Paul, when he's talking here, Paul has the expectation that Jesus will arrive like any moment, that it's just this imminent arrival of Christ. This is what he's expecting. He's expecting for Jesus to arrive within actually his lifetime. So he says things like, it is urgent for us to get our lives in order. It is urgent for us to change how we are behaving. It's urgent to make sure that our lives don't look like those in the world around us. So he says, this is all the more urgent because, as he puts it, time is running out. And when he says that word time there, some of you, if you've been journeying with us at least since the fall, might remember that in Greek, there are two words for time. One of them is chronos, which is about kind of the ordered, regularly chronological kind of time. The other word is the word kairos, and it's about a special kind of time. And that's the word that Paul uses here. that kairos as a Greek word, what it has a meaning of, is this time with meaning and significance. A time of conversion is upon the world. It's time that feels different and unique. So Paul says it's time to wake up because time is running out. That's what he teaches us. And he's going to give us some specific ways to show that we are waking up. He says this next. So remove your dark, dirty deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. And here we see two things. We really see actions and transformations. But here what Paul's really interested in is what we are actually doing, our deeds, our actions. This is important for us to recognize, especially in Western Christianity, because in Western Christianity, what we have done is we have made thinking and making sure our doctrine is right as the primary thing. We think that if we think the right things, we will all of a sudden then automatically live the right way. This isn't always true, actually. Our doctrine matters, but sometimes what we need to really look at is our actual actions that we are taking, because it's our actions that we take that actually reveal what we truly do believe, okay? Our actions reveal our true beliefs. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're a vegan and you believe it's a healthier choice. You watch all the documentaries you want all around it and all that sort of stuff. If you say you're a vegan, but then you go have a Crunchwrap Supreme at Taco Bell, okay, you are not a vegan, correct? Do you want to know what you are? A connoisseur of fine foods, my friends. That is what you are. Okay? Some of you know I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. I think it is perfect, even though most of you do not, and that is fine. I pray for you to be, I don't know, grow in that, right? Our actions reveal what we truly do believe, right? They are actually the mirror we should pay attention to. This is what Paul is saying. He says, take off your dirty deeds. Your actual actions really matter. Sometimes we don't reflect too much on our actions. We reflect more on our beliefs, thinking that if we arrange the mental furniture in our heads, kind of then everything will work out. But Paul here wants us to look at our actions as our beliefs, as what really reveal what we believe with things. So Paul says, take off this dirty, sinful, disordered actions. That's what he says. And then he says to put on the armor of right living. And here when he says the shining armor of right living, I am immediately drawn to another passage in the Bible where Paul speaks the same kind of language, but he expands it. And so I want to read to you Ephesians 6, because I think this is what Paul is getting at when he says, put on the right armor of God. In Ephesians 6, we hear an extended kind of idea of what the armor of God is, where Paul writes this. So put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put salvation on as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I think this is what's in the background of Paul's thoughts. Sometimes you can take a passage of scripture and another passage actually gives greater light to it. So when Paul says, put on the shining armor of right living, this is what I think he's meaning. That we as Christians, how should we be living with truth? We should be living with righteousness and with justice. We should be living with peace, faith, hope, and salvation, and living according to the Spirit and according to what the scripture speaks of us. That when Paul says, take off your dirty deeds, what he's actually inviting us then to do is to live as people of love and to live as people who live in the truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and hope and salvation. I think that's what he's speaking about. Next, Paul's going to change metaphors a bit again. And he's going to move from the metaphor of clothing to the metaphors of day and night. But again, the focus is really on our actions, on what we were doing, on what it is shown. He says this, because we belong to the day, because we belong to the day or to the light, he says, we must live decent lives for all to see. We must live decent lives for all to see. Isn't that important for us to reflect on? That really what we're called to look like is so different from the world that when the world looks at us, they would see decent lives. Is your life a decent life? Is your life one that when your neighbors think about you or encounter you, that they would say, yes, that person lives a decent life, a different life? This is what Paul is getting at. That it's important that we live decent lives for all to see, that our good deeds are meant to be a part of how we live. And so Paul then says how we should live differently. He says, don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. I want to unpack what he's speaking about here. That Paul, first of all, is unpacking at the very beginning, where he talks about we need to live differently because it is day. He's talking about how in the darkness is often when crimes are perpetrated, and he would talk about wrong things being perpetrated. And then he says what it looks like specifically. He says, don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. And here, in all the sins that Paul names, these are sins that are very, very, very common in the Roman culture. That the Roman culture would have had all of this as a part of their, kind of almost their everyday. If you know anything about the Roman culture, you would know that back then they threw lavish parties all the time. And in those parties, there would have been like drunkenness, there would have been sexual promiscuity, there would have been wild parties full of immoral living and quarreling and jealousy. That the Roman culture was one of excess. And that what they would do is throw these big, huge parties, and there would be really no rules within these things. And so Paul is saying to the early church that the church needs to look very different than Roman gatherings. That when Romans get together and they gather, it looks like wild parties, it looks like sexual promiscuity, it looks like drunkenness, and it looks like quarreling and jealousy and immoral living. Paul's saying this cannot be a part of the church. That the church needs to look different than the world around them. Walsh and Keesmaat put it this way. They say the unrestrained sexual and alcoholic excess that was habitual in Roman banquets and often depicted on murals of such banquets has no place in the Christian community. Not only was such excess designed to showcase the wealth and honor of the host, but the exploitive and self-indulgent sexual debauchery of the symposia, of those gatherings, they are called symposias, makes a mockery of the love, fidelity, compassion, and respect that is at the heart of the Christian gathering together, that's at the heart of the community. Paul's really just speaking really, really clearly and saying that the Roman culture and how they gather, it is wrong, it is sinful, and we're called to look different. This is what he's saying there. Different for all to see. We're going to be moving from these lives of darkness instead into living lives of light. And that these sins that he names, you might not recognize them, but they're all actually plural in the Greek, meaning that they're actual communal or social sins. And what Paul is saying is that we need to live differently and we need to live better than that. And we need to put on a different set of clothing. Next, what we see in this passage is we've already seen how we're called to love our neighbor and how we're called to wear some clothes of Christ. We're going to talk about changing actions. He says this, instead of all that kind of sexual debauchery and drunkenness and jealousy, he says, instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the verse I want to reflect on for a few moments here today. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about Jesus as kind of like a sweater before? That's a kind of a funny reference, but that's actually what he's saying. Put on the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus is like clothing that we can wear. That Jesus is like some decisions that we can make so that we might live and love and look like him. Paul expands on this idea of clothing and then clothing ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians. I want to read to you where he expands what that kind of looks like. He says this, because I think this is going on in the back of Paul's mind when he says, put on the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians, he puts it this way. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, he says, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Again, if you want to know who is mature in Christ, this is a very good picture of who they would be. If you want to know someone's mature in Christ, they should be tenderhearted. They should be kind. They should be humble. There should be gentleness. There should be patience. These are things that we're called to do. And if you want to know if someone actually is following Jesus in a deep, mature way, this is what their life would reveal. And remember, our actions reveal what we actually believe. So Paul says to put on the clothing of Christ, it would look like this. Mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Isn't that how clear that is? Forgive anyone who offends you. That kind of covers everyone, does it not? Right? This is what Paul is saying. This is the kind of actions we need to be living. We need to put aside our dirty clothes and all the ways that we can actually sin and have disordered lives and instead put on clothing that looks like forgiveness. He says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. I think this is what it means to put on the presence of Christ. It means to live with mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, and most of all, with love. This is what the world is called to see within us. I think it's important for us to take a moment and to just reflect on that. Is this really what other people would describe us as? Is this how other people would describe you? Is this how my neighbors would describe me? This matters for us. We need to be people who live differently. This is what Paul is saying. Take off those dirty deeds of clothing and instead put on this right armor of Jesus Christ and to clothe yourself with the presence of Christ. It's a choice we can make. And so how do we do that practically? Paul then gives us one more thing to think about how to live differently and how to make sure that we are putting on the presence of Christ in our everyday lives. He says this, don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Paul is teaching us that we have to have a changed mindset, which results in changed behavior. And he's inviting us to make sure that we don't let kind of dark, sinful, or disordered thoughts just play through our minds. I think this is really practical because I think often in our world, I'm not sure if you've ever done this, anybody ever had like a little low-grade revenge fantasy that they've thought about before? Me as your pastor will say yes to this, okay, in case you're wondering. It's fine for us to be open and honest in church, right? We can be honest, amen? So sometimes we have these things that are actually sinful and wrong and evil, and we just kind of let them play out in our minds. It might be those little kind of revenge fantasies. It might be lust that kind of gets the ground for others. It might be also unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever it is. Paul is saying something really clear and practical. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. But how do we do that? How do we actually make sure that we don't have these thoughts kind of going through? Well, while this might sound counterintuitive, it's actually true. You can't stop unholy thoughts by trying not to think about them. That is just actually impossible. You can't stop unholy thoughts by trying not to think about them. I'll give you an example of this. If I tell you to not think about a pink elephant, to not picture a pink elephant, to stop picturing a pink elephant, what are you all picturing right now within your minds?
A yellow tiger.
Thanks, Fraser. If I keep saying pink elephant long enough, you will eventually picture it in your heads because trying not to think about it, what you're doing is you're actually thinking about it. Right? I know that might sound funny, but that's actually how it works. So if we want to stop evil desires playing through in our minds, the way we do that is not by trying harder, but actually changing our focus to something holier. That's how we do it. We just let those thoughts that are evil and sinful that sometimes just show up, we just let them run through our minds. We don't engage with them. We don't give them any more energy. Instead, what we do is we think about holy things, good things, Christ-like things, things like mercy, kindness, love, and patience, and forgiveness. We let those things center our minds. Or as Paul says in a different letter, he says, let heaven fill your thoughts in Colossians 3, verse 2. Let heaven fill your thoughts. That there's a shift that needs to happen away from evil and dark thoughts towards holy ones. And the way we do that, again, is not by trying harder to not have difficult or wrong thoughts. It's to actually just let those pass through and to shift our focus into something that is holier, into what God would have for us. So Paul says here really clearly that we need to change how we think. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So this is kind of Romans 13, the rest of it. This is chapters 13, 8 through 12. So what does this mean for us, though, practically here today? And what's my main point in the midst of all of this? What we've already seen is our need to love your neighbor, right? This is in the first few verses, but Paul's really clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a quote from G.K. Chesterton that I really like, that he says that we make our friends, we make our enemies, but God chooses our neighbor. Right? Like God has placed you in a space. So do your neighbors know that you live differently because of how you love? I hope that they do. I hope they can speak that about you. I hope that mine would speak that about me and our family as well. So the first thing we've learned is that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Then Paul teaches us in verses 11 to 12 to put on different clothes, to change our actions. And lastly, he talks about living rightly with the right actions in verses 12 to 14. So what does this all mean for us here today? What's my main point out of this passage? My main point is just really simple. I just want to simplify all of this to kind of one sentence. That we need to be clothed with Christ and live differently than the world around us. This is, I think, Paul's main point in this passage. We need to be clothed with Christ. We have to put them on like a sweater, which might sound heretical, except that Paul said it first. Right? We need to put on Christ, on the presence of Christ. We need to be clothed with him and then live differently than the world around us. Because while our world is very different than the Roman world, our world has just as much sin and disorder as the Roman world did, and we're called to live lives that reflect that difference that Christ has made. So we need to be clothed with Christ and live differently than the world around us. But what does this mean for us here practically? As I often say, we don't come here just for information. We come here actually for transformation. We actually want to be changed, to live differently, to actually show some of that difference in the world around us. So what does this mean for us here practically? Well, today, what I want to give to you is one question and one action to take. And for me, I want to begin with asking you one question. And here's the question I want to invite you just to reflect on here today. And the question is this: what kind of clothes have you been wearing this past week? And I'm not talking about accidentally putting on your wife's jeans, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here when I say that. I want to invite you just to actually reflect on this past week, right? Paul said that we're called to have different clothing. What kind of clothes are you wearing? Or what kind of clothes were you wearing this past week? Were they clothes of love and mercy and patience and self-control? Or instead, as Paul puts it, was there wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity, immoral living, or in quarreling, or in jealousy? Were you loving your neighbor as you are called to? Or instead, was that maybe a little bit lacking? I want to invite you just to think through, you know, how did this work with what clothes were you wearing in your home life, in your school, in your workplace? I want to invite you to reflect on that today. And I ask you of this, and I want to be really, really clear with this. I ask you of this not because I want any single person to feel guilty. That is not it. Instead, I ask you to reflect on your life and what clothes you've been wearing, because this will lead you to freedom. What often happens sometimes in our lives is we don't name the wrong things, we don't reflect on it, and we remain trapped within cycles of hurt and pain and difficulty. So I want to invite you just to reflect on this and to say, is there any clothing that you're putting on that needs to be changed? Using Paul's kind of metaphor. So that's the first question I have for you. What kind of clothes have you been wearing? Secondly, I have one action for you. What I want to invite you to do is one practical action, which is called confession. That what I want to do here, even in service, is we're going to give you a few moments just to reflect on your past week and to practice confession. And by confession, what I mean is simply to name to Jesus the areas where maybe our lives haven't been living up to his ideal. To maybe name those areas where we haven't been wearing the right kind of clothing, as Paul says. To name those areas where maybe we need to actually have some difference within our lives. So I want to invite you to confess anything that needs to be confessed, to name anything that needs to be named, and to leave behind anything that needs to be left behind. And I want to be really clear with this. I think confession has gotten a bad rap within Western evangelical Christianity. That confession can often seem like a downer in some ways. But instead, I want to be really, really clear. Confession, actually properly understood, leads to freedom. That's what confession does. Because it's really, really clear in the Bible where John says this in 1 John, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That confession, what it is ultimately about, is about forgiveness that frees us, cleansing for new ways of living, and absolution so we don't have to feel and live in and out of guilt. Chris Green puts it this way. He says this, and I really love both Chris Green and what he writes here about confession. He says, when in worship we confess that we are sinners, we are not engaging in self-hatred or self-abuse. He says this, just the opposite, in fact. We are acknowledging to ourselves and to others before God our absolute helplessness to live the lives we want and need to live. Has anybody ever wanted to live differently before and struggle with that other than your pastor? Right? Here what Paul is reminding us of in and through, or here's what Chris Green is reminding us of, is that when we actually confess, what we are doing is we are inviting God's help into our lives that we desperately need. He continues and says, we are acknowledging that we can only receive what we need as God freely graces us to receive it. We are acknowledging that we can only see God's beauty as God opens our eyes to it. That confession, what it is properly understood, is actually an act for us to find freedom to live differently. And so today, what I want to invite you to do is the worship group's going to come up in just a few moments. And when they come up, they're just going to play kind of quietly for a few moments. And I want to invite you to use that time to reflect on your past week and to think, is there anything that maybe you need to name, anything you need to leave behind? And I want to invite you just to simply confess that to God privately in your own heart, to just name that to him and to trust that he will actually not only forgive you, but free you to live different lives. This whole passage is about us needing to live different lives. And so I want to invite you practically to do that through reflection and then through confession. So what's my main point this morning? My main point is that we need to be clothed with Christ and to live lives that are differently. And then how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, today I want to give you time for reflection and confession. Those two things will help us to live differently. And so with that, I want to invite you to join with me in prayer and then to spend a few moments simply in reflection and confession here together. So let's pray. God, as we come into this time of reflection and confession, would you give to us eyes to see the spaces where you want to help us to grow? Would you help us to acknowledge the ways that we have perhaps not loved our neighbors as ourselves or loved you with our whole hearts? Would you help us to confess and to find freedom and forgiveness? Would you help us to know your new life that you bring and help us to live in that shining armor of your presence that you call us to? God, might we live differently because you are making us into different people. Might you make us into the people that we long to be, the better and more Christ-like versions of that. So as we spend time today in reflection on this past week and then in confession, I pray most of all, Lord, would you give us freedom, would you give us grace, and would you give us your forgiveness? And I pray this all in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.